Hello, everyone. Sorry for the black screen at the beginning. I realized I had forgotten my Diet Coke during the intro music. And I was like, do I want to go for an hour without a Diet Coke? No. How are you doing, people? November, cold, the fall, Israel war. What is up? Ariel Suarez says, just in time. Yes. Belly dancing is not something that impressed me. I think based on the thing, you would conclude that it's some kind of sexually appealing move that belly dancing is, but I don't get it. I'm personally not excited at the idea. Now, this is kind of an impressive performance because she belly dances to the point of controlling single quarters on her belly. Okay, I can acknowledge the complexity of the task. Oh no, the Middle Eastern ambience. Ah, no, it's really not a dance that appeals to me. It's not made for me. It's way too desertic. I feel like these women would have an issue living in my Norton shack. It's like a whole lot of trouble with these hyper lipsticked, boob having women. I don't want any of this trouble. Okay, she made one quarter, one spaced with another quarter that wasn't falling. And then she made the last line that wasn't falling fall. Quite impressive, but still just belly dancing. It's a very ephemeral thing. To develop this talent for ultimately your belly to really be attractive and sexy for at best 10 years. I don't know. MB says, belly button stinks. Ah, so that I don't know. Does it specifically stinks in the belly dancer or it stinks for all women? I don't know. Never sniffed a belly button, but I'm thankful that we have audience members that know. Today, so that's written by this guy. Today, exactly 7 years ago, I asked Kim to be the mother of my doll baby for a school project. She was my crush, but until that day, she had never spoken to me. We quickly realized we were great parents and named our doll Sophia. I told Kim one day we would have a real daughter and we would name her that. She laughed. It never crossed my mind then that 7 years later I would be holding Kim's daughter and would have the opportunity to support them as a stepfather. Thank you, Kim, for giving me a chance, even if it took 7 years. Love you, Kim and Sophia. Holy shit, she went out there, got the black baby. I'm not sure that the baby is black, maybe. Maybe the baby is like Hispanic or whatever. I mean, and this I was pointing out, this is the problem of advertising your quality as a father. Most females do not make dating decisions based on your quality as a father. In fact, your quality as a father is probably a negative for most females because most females are deranged in today's world. So be careful. Be careful. It doesn't matter. You're a good father. I'm sure you are good and all, and it's good for you and it's good for your baby. But you don't want to advertise it too much. In fact, you might want to act like you're some kind of asshole at all times and not even advertise it at all that you're a good father, because that automatically triggers in the female brain a desire to be inseminated by some other man. It's like, okay, I have secured parental care here. What else can I get? Maybe I can get genetic quality out there. Somehow the female brain hasn't integrated that the quality of parents is genetic quality. That didn't make it to the female brain. So be very careful. If you advertise yourself as a good parent through a school project where you have the opportunity to kind of prep the female to think of herself as a mother alongside of you, she's eventually going to use that parental service, but probably to the benefit if she gets an occasion to get inseminated elsewhere. Probably will use this, will use you as a cuckold. Go away, says, don't talk to me or my wife's baby doll ever again. DK Shadow says, wow, she had him on beta reserve for 7 years. I mean, 7 years is the standard. When you get in the friend zone / cuck beta reserve, it can be long down there. You better forget the girl. Better for your mental health to just forget the girl and move on to something else, because it's going to be something like this. I mean, so disgusting in a way. Lauren Witzk says, a 17-year-old white male teenager was beaten to death by a dozen black teens in Vegas on November 1st. The young white boy was murdered because he tried to stop his friend from being mugged by this same group. They trampled him. We see really just from far, but we see that they are trampling and kicking him. There is no solution to this. Either you accept being thieved or you die from a gang of people. Who is going to be judged for murder here? Is any of these people in this collective of this mob, will any of these people be judged for murder? Because that, as far as I'm concerned, the 12 or 14 of them should be all in jail forever for murder. They all participated to it, much more than a lot of what we've seen on the white side. You know, Ahmaud Arbery's death, the guy was on the cell phone just just being, hey guys, what are you doing? Oh, we're just killing a guy. The guy on the cell phone got judged for murder. So certainly if you're down and kicking on the ground like this, you should all be part of the murder prosecution. But I don't know, how will it work in Vegas? I don't know, but you don't want to live in those places. Simply, you want to be in places where there cannot be a group of 12 black people who decide to steal from you, because it's going to boil down to your life or your property. John Drake says, homeschool far away from city centers. Absolutely, that is the right thing to do. Black man's truck repossessed moments after he was gunned down by Alabama cops. That is a very weird framing by the New York Post. Home security video showed a repo truck callously hauling away an Alabama man's truck as he lay dying in his front yard after being shot by a police officer. Listen. What is the alternative? First, I guess this guy got killed because he pulled a weapon or he threatened the policeman in some way. Perkins is laying on the ground as two people who appeared to be police officers stood over him and patted him down. Now, it's not the job of the trucker who's in charge of pulling the car away, of repossessing the car. It's not his job to wait for an hour just out of respect. He has a job to do. It is to repossess the truck. The threat has been neutralized by the police. The shooting happened after Perkins exited his house at night with a flashlight. Security footage showed. Police and the driver said he had mounted a gun on the flashlight. Oh, well, that's an interesting detail, isn't it? A claim which could not be verified by watching the footage. Okay, so now we're starting to understand what happened. So, okay, your guy got shot because he had a gun. And somehow he intended to use this gun to stop himself from being repossessed for his truck, which he wasn't paying for, or whatever reason he was repossessed. And the guy with the truck, whose job it was to repossess the truck, once the guy was dead or shot by the police and maybe on his way to die, he repossessed the truck. These guys are paid by the hour. They cannot wait there just in case there would be a New York Post article about their callous behavior. A case of a white man flipping out at McDonald's. Let's have a look. You do this, dumb bitch. Well, it's a rare sight. The white man in his natural environment very rarely is pissed off at the McDonald's. But here it seems we have a case.
You do this! You do this! Don't
Oh, a very rare throw of the Diet Coke by a white man. That is a rare... Maybe it's influence of the social media. It seems that the Coke may have landed onto a plate that was hot because I can hear... So maybe it fell onto the burger plate, and he says, "Shut it down."
Yeah, right now, our burger's not good. Give me some food.
Oh, he's hungry. Give me some food.
Out all this.
Destruction of the computers. That hurts me. I'm a computer guy. To see these electronic apparatuses be shoveled like this, ragdolled. Oh, there is some racial tension. He says, "I'm going to call racist on you," or... Maybe he has the impression that he's being called racist by the McDonald's employee.
Give me some damn real food!
He wants real food. So is his complaint the fact that he got no food? Or the fact that the food he got was not real?
Give me some food!
He's coming now! He's cooking your
food! Give me some fries! Give me that bag of fries right there!
And the McDonald's employee says, "He's cooking your burger right now." Well, he did get some food at the end.
Stupid. Don't ever stupid shit to white again, you ain't taking all this country white or black.
Why you're black, you're taking this country? Is it possible it's what he's saying? Or maybe he's just divagating and saying stuff that doesn't make sense. I don't know. Something to do with country, black.
Yo!
Well, this seems quite unjustified. He sounds casual. Oh, okay, so that would be the race of people who made these chicken sandwiches with sauce. Not super impressive, if you want my opinion. Race profiteers like WAPO's Karen Attia always deploy anecdotes from 70 to 500 years ago to bludgeon you with collective guilt. You're eternally responsible for one Emmett Till circa 1955. She's somehow never responsible for the 150,000 plus whites buried and buried by the media since 1955. So Data Azzard with his statistics on the white on black murder versus black on white murder. 35,000 white women murdered by blacks, 6,000 black women murdered by whites, 145,000 white victims of blacks, 48,000 black victims of white. Collective guilt generally only affects the whites in public discourse, but collective guilt you cannot apply to the blacks. Dead Star says, "Lol, Kajer would be your race, mate. You're calling me Kajer? You're calling me Kajer, bro? Let me tell you, I've been in Louisiana. I've been going to play pool in Louisiana, and there was a black guy who heard us speak French while we were playing pool, and he came to us and he said, 'You guys are French?' And we were like, 'Yes.' And he said, 'Ah, me too, but I don't speak French, but like I have maybe some ancestry.'" There he was, you know, having been called a descendant of the French forever in his life, but having had no contact with French language. And there he was at a pool table, seeing us beside the pool table, actually speaking French. I was finding this hilarious. There is one reason why any atheist should convert to Christianity. That is, if it is evidently true. It's not, says Aaron Ra. So there is much talk about the Irish, whatever her name is, Ali, her conversion to Christianity after she hung out for years with secularist, atheist, militant atheist of all kind. Now she's taken all those pictures, so it's time for the coming out of everyone. I was in a picture with her, but I disavow her move to Christianity. I picked this sentence by Aaron Ra because I think it's interesting. There is only one reason why any atheist should convert to Christianity. Aaron Ra is making a special jump over the bridge of the human gap. He is making a should from a fact here. He is saying, if Christianity was true, that would be the only reason why you should convert to it. Interesting, but incorrect by the Hume doctrine and the Hume guillotine. You cannot derive morals from a fact. And in fact, there may be things you should do, even if they're false. There may be stories you should tell yourself and you should tell your children if they help survive, if survival is more important than the truth. Sometimes there may be acts of self-deception that may be justifiable morally. Kind of consider them the white lies of self-deception. You know, when we say a white lie, we acknowledge, yes, it's a lie, but it has very little consequence on the person I'm lying to, and it protects something so much more important that I'd rather lie. I'd rather lie. It's a white lie, however, it's a lie that will have no consequence on them and that I do for a honorable reason. Perhaps Christianity is a Perhaps Christianity is a white lie. Perhaps it is the best story you can tell to a descendant of the apes that ends up in the human species and that needs to be guided morally in life. In fact, it may be better than a white lie. It may be a super white lie. It may be a it may be a delivery of moral services of a really grand importance. So no, it is not because something is true that you should convert to it. You should do what you have to do to survive, though, and for your children to continue reproducing. Dino Lugovich says, religion gives community as well. Atheism does not. Yeah, I highlighted this in my clip of yesterday that I published on Twitter. We are at the end of militant atheism. It was unsustainable. Intergenerationally, it doesn't work. It's an evolutionary trap. It's a bait. You know, if you go into a pond and you always have the same color bait, eventually the fish will evolve away from biting that bait. But atheism is a bait also. If all of the fish that you catch with atheism are kind of higher IQ, more educated, liberal, childless, or less children. And so that's an evolutionary bait. That you capture the attention of very intelligent people and you take them out of the gene pool. So that's unsustainable on the long run. Go away, says, wrong, JF. The only reason to convert to Christianity is to express your devotion to Jesus and accept his merciful salvation. Okay, well, that's your view, I guess, as a Christian. DK Shadow says, after 20 to 30 years of new atheism, people are already abandoning ship. Yes, yes. I think the carelessness, if the new atheism had been a center of enlightenment values, of openness to ideas, a place where you could discuss anything that is factual and that has multiple moral consequences, such as the theme of race, I think that new atheism would be in a good standing right now. It would be at least the only place where you can have some form of an intellectual, honest conversation in 2023. But they refused to go there. They rejected me. If they rejected people like me. So then it became a liberal circle jerk. If you're going to be a liberal circle jerk, you're going to pursue the truth, the so-called truth that you say is the truth, but you're not going to engage with all truths, and you're going to be selective to your truths as to whether they fit your narrative, then that doesn't work. Then you don't benefit from the high moral ground. You don't benefit from the high intellectual ground. You're not the only place people can go to have an intelligent conversation. In fact, you are one of the places to go to for people not to have an intelligent conversation because you refuse to engage on some of the most important themes of current society. And so you made yourself irrelevant, atheism and militant atheist in general. Frog Eyes says, I'm shocked how many in our circles who are otherwise objective rationalists abandon all reason and embrace some fairy tale as the truth. Yes, and we can see them do this with liberal values. When it touches something like race or anything kind of edgy, at the border of political edginess, they're already gone. End of the line, Joel says, Greta has strange physiognomy. I wonder, did her mother drink alcohol during pregnancy? There's always this meme that she resembles some early drawing of fetal alcohol syndrome. Personally, I don't think... I think this drawing is not a scientific source. I don't think you can use it as a diagnostic tool. In and of itself. I think this drawing may have simply been made with someone who happened to have the genes that made their face look that way, kind of, but fetal alcohol syndrome exaggerated it. I just don't think it's good physiognomy. It's good scientific work to say, I'm going to take this picture and and say that Greta is likely to have had alcohol fetal syndrome. Personally, I'm super impressed by Greta. She just kicked a Israeli shill from her protest. It was beautiful. We're going to get to this. DK Shadow says, yep, liberal values are their dogma and they are as zealous as any religious fanatics. That is what people like me have set to expose. And it was beautiful what we did in terms of developing a whole career, talking about these subjects that we knew would cause cognitive dissonance in this group of atheists, but really just a bunch of liberals. And to me, the final nail on the coffin happened relatively recently with the Andrew Wilson exposing something that I didn't know about, that Matt Dillahunty is he's married to a trans porn actor. It's like, wow. That's how deep the secret goes. That's how deep the tie between atheism, militant atheism, and kind of liberal LGBT activism goes. That's how strong the ties are. And we had seen early examples of this. For example, when there was this divorce between two hosts that I had visited their show. There was one who was an atheist gay host, and then there was the other guy with gray hair. And there had been conflict in the team, and it was precisely on this. Is atheism just about the belief in God not being there, or is atheism attached to all these gay beliefs? I don't remember the name of these guys, but maybe someone on the chat will. But we saw it right there, that the guy with the gray hair was pissed at his gay co-host because he wanted me on the show and the gay co-host didn't. So you can see I pressed on a button with my life. I pressed in an injury that was affecting the secular world. And Mikey Enoch also, Mikey Enoch, before being a celebrity, was hanging... Oh, yeah, the Non Sequitur Show. That was the name of their show. Mikey Enoch from The Right Stuff has similar experience because... Before he was he mentioned one time in a show that I was with him that he was hanging out on those atheist forums very early in his life. And he started bringing questions like the question of Jews and their contribution to culture or the question of race, and he got rejected. So clearly, the atheist community decided to go the direction of liberalism, and it didn't serve them well. You know, if you had been the host of an entire intellectual movement of true openness, you could have had a good ride. You could have. If you had let people be atheist and yet pro-reproduction and anti-liberalism, you could have had an extended run across generations. DK Shadow says, yep, same experience. Yeah, so I personally didn't ever try to... I'm not a forum hanger. If I go into forums or 4chan, it's mostly viewing. I don't really try to be integrated to these communities. But when I had to do my choices of career in terms of intellectual direction, I felt this, hey... These people say they are about the truth, but there's certainly a bunch of truth that we never end up hearing from them. And so I was like, this will be my specialty. I'll be the black sheep of the truths that none of the liberals want to admit. Let's see how it goes. Well, how does it go? You end up being punched a lot. You end up being attacked a lot. By the way, for those who are on the Patreon and Subscribestar, we have an old supporter of the show who has been supporting the show, but he hasn't been showing up to the Patreon hangouts for a couple of years. He's going to be back. And so, he is in a time zone that forces me to move the Patreon hangout to Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern time. So Sunday, 2 p.m. Eastern time, in 7 days from now, it will be our Patreon hangout, and be there if you want to talk to this old friend of mine who was a supporter of the show from the very beginning. And it wasn't to crypto from the very beginning. I remember back very early, he was directing people toward crypto. So it's going to be an interesting Patreon hangout this month. The Chad Truth Seeker. Our results show that testosterone administration substantially decreases lying in men. Self-serving lying occurred in both groups. However, reported payoffs were significantly lower in the testosterone group. This is interesting because I had seen so many times in my life where I'm like, what the fuck are these women doing? They can talk, and it's like what they just said means nothing. The commitment means nothing to them. The truth means nothing to them. Are they even in contact with reality? And now I realize it's all about testosterone. Testosterone connects you to reality. And even the men who have low testosterone, they are more likely to lie to serve themselves. So you can see that this whole creepy sewer level attitude of the beta male who lives in lie, that is just an evolutionary strategy. Ultimately, it's the beta male strategy. It's what you have to do when you're scratching the bottom of the drawers of the dating scene. You lie to yourself and you lie to others. How sad is it? Big Tech Exodus says it seems normal for most humans to have a very loose relationship to truth. Yes, and that's painful to me because I really don't like violating my oath to truth. There are some extreme situations where I would lie out of self-preservation, that kind of stuff. But I wouldn't lie in a way that affects someone else's standing and that constitutes an act of aggression or deception toward their standing in life. I wouldn't lie in an offensive way. H. Pearl Davis says, well, she has all sorts of projects, but I have tested pearly things. I have offered sperm insemination, and she never grabbed my offer. And so there she is, having all sorts of projects. She makes me think of Mama JF so much. You know, I'm going to create a virtual community for people who want to start families. Eventually, it will evolve into a school and wife school where the skills are taught by the most intelligent people in society on how to make money and also be a good wife. As much as people want to just go buy land somewhere and run away, media is online. I am going to sign people and create a network where we bring together musicians, actors, and content creators that value truth more than women's feelings. We will create the media that we want to see in the world. This is all maniacal projects. I have seen at one point Jordan Peterson wanted to start his social media. Now we have Pearl Davis wanting to start a virtual community. Will it be like a social media, like a forum? What the fuck are you going to do with musicians and actors? These people are completely helpless for themselves, let alone able to help anyone become a good wife. if you want a center that makes people good wives, ban musicians and actors from there. First thing, like rule number one, no musicians. Rule number two, no actors. What the fuck is this project? Dino Lugovic says, Pearly needs a good husband. Get to it, boys. Yeah, and that would be my reply to Andrew Wilson, because Andrew Wilson didn't confront me with this, but he went on a sideshow of his after my interview with him, and he started saying, oh yeah, JF is kind of weird. His offer of sperm to Pearly things was totally creepy. I will offer this in my defense. First, creepy is my signature move. I don't care. Secondly, I don't think you fully understand, Andrew, what I did with this offer. I have created a public record that Pearly Thing had the opportunity, all expenses paid, to be inseminated by a husband, by someone who would be the father of her children. My goal with this is I want to be clear in 40 years from now, if Pearly Things is childless, that she said no to an offer, that she had it, she could grab it, it was free, there was nothing she had to be concerned with, and she chose childlessness. That is what I want to make sure of. Of course, I'm still super happy if she finds a way to have a baby before she goes her eggs dry. But I wanted it to be on the record in case she doesn't get it, in case she doesn't get it by then, that she had a chance and she didn't grab it. And I wanted to make it. I'm not speaking to Pearly Things. My offer was not so much to Pearly Things. First, my offer was a publicity for the availability of my sperm. And it totally worked. I ended up having another beautiful girlfriend who honestly is much more beautiful than Pearly Things. Like, imagine Pearly Things, but with a truly feminine body, no oversized shoulder, and not a bizarre face, but rather a very, very cute European face. That is the current state of Papa JF's girlfriend. So, you know, it's like Thank You for Smoking, the movie, where he tells his son, I'm not talking to you. I'm not debating with you. I'm talking to them. So in terms of a public intervention, I think that my offer of sperm to Pearly Things was absolutely relevant, and I think it will be a good tool to have when she shows up at 40 years old childless, because it's one thing to say, oh, I didn't get lucky, oh, it didn't work with me, but it's another thing to, hey, you had the opportunity, you could have had a high IQ sperm source and you didn't use it. Dino Rogovic says, oh, JF, stop comparing woman's beauty. I won't stop. You can leave if you're annoyed by it. The crocodile tears are insane. She also claims to have seen pictures of beheaded Israeli babies. Yeah, there's so many people who have seen pictures of beheaded babies. You're going to tell me that none of these people leaked them. None of these people took a little phone picture. It's like we have to believe that there are beheaded babies, but somehow the authorities are keeping it secret.
I'm not okay. I'm not okay.
Yeah, imagine if you were in Gaza, how not okay you would be. Not only would you have your emotional mess to deal with, on top of it, you'd be bombarded by bombs all over your head.
All I could do is cry. I'm not eating. I'm not drinking.
You're on the oppressor side. You're not supposed to be crying like this. You're supposed to be bloodthirsty and calling for more bombs.
Drinking. I'm sick. I'm sick. I can't go on with my life after seeing pictures of babies burned, hugging each other dead.
I think you are deluded. See, this is the... This right here is the lack of connection with truth due to low testosterone. And it is a weapon of war. It is a weapon of propaganda. So by seeing her cry, you end up having an impression that the photos are more real.
Beheaded! Grandmother's burnt alive on Facebook!
And the reason they cover it with so much emotion is that it kind of neutralizes the part of your brain that would be asking for details. Like, if I come to you in a reasonable way, not emotional, and saying, look, DK Shadow, I have seen pictures of dead babies beheaded. Now you're suddenly going to start engaging with the facts of, you're going to test me. Like, okay, you say they were beheaded. Did they look like they were beheaded by a blade? Or did they look like they were their head were ripped off because of an explosion? You're going to ask me for more detail, and I'm going to look more and more like a liar as I make it up to compensate for your questioning. But when she spams you with emotional overload, it's like, oh my God, she's so emotional. Your brain doesn't even pass through the hypothesis of, hey, were you holding these pictures in your hand? Did you have a cell phone with you? Why didn't you take a picture of these pictures? No, because you believe the emotionality, and then you're like, oh, well, she didn't have time to act rationally. She must have been totally emotionally wrecked by these pictures.
It's too much. It's too much. Now I understand why my grandmother was so bittersweet her whole life.
Yeah, those are way too big lips for me to believe anything you say with them. Get those lips fixed, and then we can talk. Aha! Greta talks of Israel as occupied land. Some guy tries to stop her, saying this is a climate protest, not a political one. Let's see here, because I think it is the beginning of the rise of based Greta. Greta has made an order. Let's call it the Nuremberg. Greta's Nuremberg moment, or Greta's. What were the laws that Hitler, brought in at first when he first got elected? He brought some laws. Maybe we could call them Greta's Third Reich. Rising. Anyway, she has imposed a new condition. She doesn't want any of these Zayoshes to come complain on the mic when she speaks for Gaza. She has set up the conditions so that in her movement, it is all pro-Gaza and no climate justice under occupation is their slogan. I love it. I love it that I see a future in which me and Greta could be political allies. Strange Channel says the Reichstag. Greta's Reichstag, is that what... I don't know enough about World War II history to know if that would sound okay, but Greta's Reichstag, let's see what she has to say.
We have not been listening. The people in power have not been listening.
I have come here for a climate demonstration.
So this guy seems a little retarded, but also clearly is coming following a comment of Greta about politics and about Gaza. And he says, I've come here for... Let's listen again.
I have not been listening.
I've come here for a climate demonstration.
I've come here for a climate demonstration.
This is not a political view.
Not your political view. And let me guess, you're Jewish.
Calm down.
Now, Greta wants this guy out, but she also doesn't want to be covered by, press that would say, oh, Greta pushed the guy back, or Greta told her aides to go rough with him. So she says, calm down, everyone, calm down. So she wants minimal violence in the process of expelling him. Wow. I mean, it's just missing the Nazi salute, and there it is. No climate justice on occupied land. We have the representative of Che Guevara right here with her hat. We have the Beta Cox on soy, the photograph, the gay photographs. We have the feminist, uprising feminist, trans feminist and biological female feminist respectively represented. The coalition has been formed. No climate justice on occupied land, meaning you cannot be both bombing Gaza and then pose as our friend for climate justice. First, as people were pointing out in the regular chat earlier, the rockets themselves are generating massive pollution. Those are not green rockets. And on top of it, when you destroy all this concrete, it's all rebuilding efforts. Building these things has cost massive amount of CO2 emissions. And rebuilding these things will cost massive amounts too. And so no climate justice on occupied land. That is, you won't have our green check mark as a friend of the environment as long as you oppress human beings. And by saying so, Greta is intimately tying her environmental activism with a strong stance against Israeli behavior. That is absolutely commendable. I'm super excited about this. Now, of course, it's all going to be this leftist coalition. And when they say these things, they say it from a feminist perspective. They say it from all the intersectionality you want. So I know that it's not ultimately a true alliance between the likes of me and the likes of Greta. But I'm still super enthusiastic about what that means. Because it means a fraction within the left. It means that the globalist project, as it is perceived, this whole conception of the Jews are strong in finance, controlling the U.S. politics through financial interest, advocating for globalism across the world, and sometimes tying with WEF type of interest to control lives under a kind of climate technocracy or COVID technocracy of various sorts. And it's good to see a little star that they basically had risen among them, the likes of the WEF and the likes of all these globalists who want to use the climate change excuse to eventually impede on people's rights. I think that they're losing control of their little girl here. And I, for one, I'm super excited at what a free Greta can accomplish. With the kind of credit, social credit that she has received from associating with these people and getting their kind of moral acquiescence. She can take it and bring it and use it as leverage now. And the first thing that we see that she's doing in terms of standing for something outside of the climate stuff is to side with Gaza here and to side against Israel. That is super exciting in terms of the shit that it can create within the left. And in terms of perhaps she is representative of a new generation rising that cannot be like the boomers kneeling to Israeli interest for all military purposes. So I think absolute credit and respect to what Greta is doing. She may be veering the left toward a solid anti-Israeli stance of the kind that we haven't seen in generations in the U.S. Based Greta is rising, and we don't know what will happen with it. People are saying, B says, this Jew hate, vile anti-Semitism, and support for terror groups like Hamas in major Western nations and cities is disturbing and utterly disgusting. There would be peace tomorrow if Hamas laid down its arms. If the Israelis laid down their arms, there would be a second Holocaust. Oh man, are you kidding me? Is that an impersonation of an Israeli shill that you're doing here? I will physically remove you now that I'm inspired by Greta. I can't control it. I'm going to ban you. I'm going to ban you. A new guy says the JF just say based Greta. Yes, I say let us welcome based Greta. It is starting. She will be a very interesting piece of the puzzle in the fractioning and schism that is born in the left right now, with this whole Israeli allegiance that is unsustainable. Because basically, the warmongers have been classically acting through the Republican Party and leaving the anti-war forces of hippies and feminists to belong to the Democrat Party. When you remember, all of this Middle Eastern stuff has been started heavily under George Bush, okay? And so the classical Jewish stance was, let's use American military by subverting the Republican Party. And that was kind of working because the Christians of America are a bunch of cucks and they are easily recruitable to a moral moral quest in the Middle East to fight Islam. Now, there was a very interesting shift lately, which is that the blue octopus, if you will, the blue octopus turned its 17 eyes toward the Democrat Party. And it started seeing the Democrat Party as its main tool of control of American politics. Now, within the Democrat Party, there are strong and deep anti-war forces. And Greta represents totally this kind of peaceful hippie that is naturally belonging to the left, that is coming from families of hippies and musicians and that kind of crap. And she ultimately, people like Greta will not stay with a side of politics that is constantly warmongering. And in fact, that is more warmongering than Trump at this point. So more warmongering than the Republicans. It's just unsustainable. They are kind of uncomfortable with Joe Biden. They are kind of willing to accept a 4 years of that because they really hated Trump. But ultimately, the schism that is born in the left is there to stay. And what we're seeing for the 2024 election, by the way, is that Trump has a massive chance to beat Joe Biden. Because of what? Because of RFK Jr. And what does RFK Jr. do? He drains votes from Biden. He drains votes from the rationalist, anti-war, secularist, anti-COVID invasions of right part of the Democrat Party. Now, that's a whole big branch of the Democrat Party. And ultimately, you may have a Greta feeling more comfortable with an RFK-type branch to the left than a Joe Biden-type branch. Because the left, ultimately, because of its association with Muslims, minorities, anti-violence, anti-oppression, and just anti-militarism and anti-authoritarianism, the left fundamentally doesn't fit with being subservient as a tool of Israel for military purposes. They really are not into genocide, certainly not as much as the Christians are possibly made to be by a subversion of Christian speech and a subversion of Christianity within the US. So, all in all, Greta doing that kind of stuff, and it will become more and more obvious as we move throughout the year, is setting up the schism for the left that is the critical tool for us to hope defeating Joe Biden, for us to hope crashing the left for another 4 or 8 years, where we can still have a dream of right-wing victories and a dream of such a disarray on the side of the left that they won't be able to undertake any meaningful political projects. And little creatures of mess and troublemakers and Che Guevara wearing French woman, that is the kind of coalition that can totally mess up the left right now. So let them do it. I'm going to clip this one. I think it's going to be a good speech for Twitter. What else do we have? I think there wasn't much. Oh, yeah. So Greta Thunberg then is in Amsterdam saying, ah, anti-capitalista. Anti-capitalista. Ah, anti-capitalista. Ah, anti-capitalista. Okay, but why are... Is that Italian or Spanish? I don't know. Why are you talking Spanish or Italian in Amsterdam? I'm not sure. Trump's Veterans Day message was quite different from Biden. Today we honor the story of our veterans, the story of our nation at its best. President Biden wrote on X, but Trump wrote about the enemy within. Now, this is Trump's at his best going toward an election, but we now know that Trump doesn't understand the enemy within. The threat from outside forces is far less sinister, dangerous, and grave than the threat from within, the former president wrote. Despite the hatred and anger on the radical left of the radical left lunatics who want to destroy our country, we will make America great again. The big problem of Trump is that he understands only the radical left as the enemy within, when in fact the enemy within is the enemy that succeeded at kneeling Trump in front of COVID. It's the enemy that succeeded at kneeling Trump in front of Israeli military interest. If Trump understood that this is the enemy within, perhaps he wouldn't fall for it so easily. Lamar Asmo says, you're a cuck, JF. The right is enslaved to Israel. Well, I've been spending all my life complaining about this, so why do you call me a cuck? I've been making shows after shows after shows. My whole purpose on the public space is to complain against the enslavement of the right and the left. to Israeli and terrorists. So I don't know. Maybe you're telling me I'm a cuck because I wish for the right to win in the U.S. Well, on that, I will say I'm not super enthusiastic about Trump winning. I don't think it's going to be awesome because precisely of what I just mentioned. Trump does not understand the enemy within. And he fell for it. He fell for it when he went for the vaccine, lightning speed. He totally fell for it. But still, Trump is still a better president, and America is in a better standing under Trump than it is under Biden, certainly. So it's not because you root for the better of two evils that you are for evil. Anti-Semitism has no place here. Harvard president condemns from the river to the sea phrase after 1,600 Jewish alum pull donations. The problem is that these donation circles are filled with Jews who came out of the university and they keep paying back their university out of donations because they consider that it's the center through which they have made all these ethnic links with business people and that's how they made their money. But now, if you lose the Jewish alums, you know, giving back donations to the university, then you're not going to get any money flow. Because I don't think that the black alums who entered Harvard through affirmative action, I don't think they tend to give much back to Harvard. I think they're there to get something from Harvard, but not to give back. So yes, the Jewish alums have complained. Now they stopped their donations. And so the president had to come out and say, from the river to the sea is a horrible, aggressive sentence. Oh, my God. The thing is, if that is an attack, if that implies a military attack just from the river to the sea, then just the concept of Israel implies a military attack. Think about it from the perspective of, if you are in Gaza, you see Israel as the occupying force. So the word Israel is the word that designates this entity that began to occupy your land 80 years ago. So could we, by this standard, if you're going to tell me that from the river to the sea is a call for territorial aggression by the Gaza side, then I'm going to tell you that the word Israel is a word of attack also. It's a word that implies ownership of a land over people who are deprived of rights who were living there before. So Israel, you should also ban the word Israel if you want to be fair, or just let the Arabs of Harvard say from the river to the sea. It's a... Like we say the same thing in Canada, from one ocean to the other. That is a Canadian motto. Now, from one ocean to the other, we did take this territory to the Native Americans. So am I implying violence against the Native Americans when I say from one ocean to the other? I don't think so. But it's First Amendment protected speech. So even if it was to imply a military desire, that would still be expressible. It would still be a political opinion that your students can express. Palestinians are disappointed that Hezbollah hasn't escalated a northern war on Israel. Yeah, we have seen the potential allies of Gaza have been very shy at entering into this war. I had predicted this. I had told you guys there's not much to hope. They tend to talk a lot, but they tend not to make a lot of stuff in terms of attacking. But one day there will be a massive attack against Israel, I have no doubt. It's all going to happen all at once, and all the countries around it will all attack, but I don't think in the short term it will happen. Not under American protectorate as it stands. Can someone explain the implication of this to me like I'm a five-year-old? Disclose that TV was reporting 5 hours ago. Israel is seeking to install former British Prime Minister Tony Blair as a humanitarian coordinator for the Gaza Strip. That is quite hilarious of a news, because Tony Blair was a warmonger. To put him as a humanitarian coordinator is almost a joke. Almost a joke. And basically what they want is to have an English voice who would be like, oh yeah, I have I'm approving this strike and this strike and that strike, so that Israel can say, oh, it was approved by Tony Blair, you know, there was a legitimate reason to strike there because there were tunnels of Hamas below the hospital. So basically they want a whitewashing of their genocide that's currently ongoing. I love the explanations from the people below. Miles was saying Israel must have leverage over him so they know he will be a good guy. Capitan was saying Tony Blair was one of the biggest liars and war hawks leading up to the so-called War on Terror, where over 1 million Iraqis died and thousands of Americans and allied servicemen. It's like hiring Goebbels to be your PR rep. I love this comparison. Cloud Warmer says, Jeff, I tend to disagree with your comment regarding Trump versus Biden. I think if Trump takes office, based on his recent comments, we can be almost guaranteed a full-scale war in the Middle East. I don't know. What I rely upon is the fact that Trump has been against forever wars, and although he's been too much into helping Israel with airstrikes, he's also been not engaging. He's been maintaining a state of peace by a lot of talking, a lot of threats, but not doing much. And I would count on the fact that if we re-elect Trump, he will continue in that style. Now, maybe you're right. I wouldn't deny. I'm not saying that what you're saying here makes absolutely no sense. I would be afraid that if you're right. I think you may be right, and I would dislike this, and I would. I hope that you're not right, because what I liked about Trump is he was caring about economic performance and he was increasing the numbers, and it was all this very deceptive. Like, we were in a kind of Trump craze of the economy, but there was a part of it that wasn't deceptive, which is that he was deregulating, he was making everything more smooth in America in terms of entrepreneurship, in terms of the economy doing what it should do. And I think that America would be due for 4 more years of that. What else do we have before we close the show? Vivek Ramaswamy says, on day one, instantly fire 50% of federal bureaucrats. Here's how. If your social security number ends in an odd number, you're fired. That downsizes government by half. Absolutely nothing will break as a result. It doesn't violate civil service rules because mass layoffs are exempt. Shut it down. Well, okay, I'm in for it. I'm personally for firing even more than 50%. We've seen with Elon, you can fire 70, 80% bureaucrats and the thing just continues working. So I guess it's the same for the federal government. Real Base Talk says we have zero people running who are not owned by Israel. Vivek is the best, I suppose. Yes, which is why we need people like Greta. We need people like Greta to come and add a little rod into the bicycle wheels. As a last news item, US seeks clarification from Netanyahu after remarks on Gaza's future. Netanyahu emphasized that Israel plans to maintain security control over Gaza even after Hamas is totally defeated. This prompted U.S. officials to request a clarification, which has shown the growing divide between Israel and the U.S. over the war. From the first moves of this war, I have told you guys, it's a colonialist move. They are setting up to cut northern Gaza and say, oh, that's ours now. And they will be settling there, they will be trying to rebuild it, and they will be trying to make it a non-Gaza territory that will be fully under the control of the Israeli. That is a war of colonialism. And if you haven't seen this, you've just been blind or you've not been informing yourself at all. That is it for tonight, boys. Thank you for being with me. And don't forget, the Patreon hangout will be on Sunday at 2 p.m. Eastern time. It will be during the afternoon in Eastern time zone. So hopefully we can get some of our usual participants and we will get an old friend who will come back to the Patreon hangout. He was with us years ago. That is it for tonight. Bye-bye, and I will see you all tomorrow. Thank you.